This is a live broadcast from the North Pole News Dispatch. Everybody, and thanks for tuning in to the North Pole News Dispatch, your source of Christmas and festive holiday news. I'm Ken Smith, and I'll be your host tonight. The current weather here at the North Pole, we got a minus 22 degrees with light snow, and wind out of the southeast, 17 miles an hour, gusting up to 25. The barometer's reading 30.06 and a humidity of 68%. The dew point is holding steady at minus 29 degrees. And you put all that together, that gives us, it feels like a minus 48. That's the way it's supposed to be this time of year. But we have more snow expected for the rest of the night and through tomorrow morning. And it says here that by mid-afternoon, it's going to be easing off to just light snow. And by tomorrow evening, it's supposed to just be overcast. And then I'm looking, see, for the next 2 weeks, it's pretty much the same. So all you folks down there in the village, you know the drill. That's what happens this time of the year. Our weather gets in a pattern, and it's just kind of Groundhog Day. Because it's next 2 weeks, it's minus 20s to minus 40s every night. And snow most days. Nothing really big, but just getting some snow, just like we always do. Yeah, spring is getting close, but it's not quite here yet. It's just right around the corner. And I can't wait for spring. I love spring. We got a good show tonight. But before we get on to the village news, here's a word from one of our sponsors. The Village News is brought to you by Elf Angie's Fix-It Shop, located at 21 Slay Street, down in the village. Elf Angie can repair many of your home appliances, such as hair dryers, vacuum cleaners, coffee pots, radios, microwaves, and more. So stop by Elf Angie's and have a cup of coffee or hot apple cider while he works his magic to repair your home appliances. That's F. Andy's, located at 21 Slay Street, down in the village. Your friendly neighborhood fix-it shop. Thank F. Andy for sponsoring the Village News, as always. Here at the North Pole News Dispatch, we really appreciate it, F. Andy. And like I said earlier, spring is just right around the corner. Not here yet, but it's getting close. And because of that, I had a talk with the big man. Yep, scared me to death, actually. It's been a while since I've sat down and had a conversation with old Santa. And it happened down there at Holly's Jolly Bakery. After the show, the door opened and Santa walked in. And he looked around, looked left and right. And then he stopped when he saw me. He pointed right at me and gave me the old finger like, come here. And everybody in the place got quiet and started going, ooh, ah, you know, just like it would have been back in the old elementary school days when the teacher called you out or you had to go to the principal's office. I don't know if any of you guys ever had to go to the principal's office, but I made a few trips there. But I walked over to him and we went up to the counter, got some donuts and another cup of coffee. I already had a cup of coffee, but I got another one because it was the big man. And we just stood there at the counter, and he started asking me about fishing, because he had found out that I was from Tennessee and heard that while I was there, I used to fish a lot. And I did when I was younger. I fished a lot. Did a lot of wading creeks. I don't know if that's popular in any other part of the country, but down there in the South, that's kind of what you do. You just wade down the middle of the creek and fish. And so Santa started asking me about that. I said, well, there's one thing, Santa. Whenever you wade fish like that in the summer in Tennessee, there's going to be snakes. And he looked at me with these big, you know, those big blue eyes, man. They were like blue saucers whenever I said that. And he's like, I don't like snakes. And I said, well, Santa, I have to tell you before you try that, there's going to be snakes. I've been wading down the creek before, and a snake just fall right out of the tree 2 or 3 feet from me, and they just swim off. They're just trying to get away. But, you know, if you're terrified of snakes, it's not the thing to do. Because you got to be careful when you're walking around the creek banks and that type of thing. Santa said, well, you know what, Ken? I think I'm going to do my regular fishing trip to Florida. That's what he does. So if you're ever in Florida in the summer and you see a guy that looks like Santa, well, because it is Santa. That's where he goes. Every single year, he goes to Florida. But he was going to try something different. And I can't say I blame him. You know, now that I'm a little older, I'm not scared of snakes. I just don't care to be around them much. Yeah, I thought I was getting called into the principal's office, taken out behind old wood shed. But no, he was just asking some advice. And like, one of these years, I'll go back home and during the summer and take Santa down there and kind of show him the ropes. Got a lot of stuff I want to talk about here tonight. And first of all, I want to start out with the listener emails. Yeah, I got a listener email. Came in from Mike of Central Florida. And the subject is today's spin equals today's inspiration. He says, hey, Ken, greetings from 4,200 miles to your south in sunny Central Florida. There you go, Santa. You need to talk to Mike down in Central Florida. Maybe he can hook you up with some fishing down there where there's not any snakes there in the ocean, maybe. Mike says, collecting vinyls was never on my radar, as I am more the cassette tape generation. Well, me too, buddy, but I collect vinyls now. He goes on to say, however, my strong interest in Americana coupled with your monthly Today's Spin post have piqued my interest. After doing some reading and research and reaching out to a certain radio station in the North Pole, I've decided to take the plunge. My wife gifted me with a record player for my birthday, and my first vinyls include a few that have been highlighted by the North Pole News Dispatch. How about that? Mike says, my excitement made everyone jump in the antique mall when I came across my first Firestone album. Of course, I had to find Colonel Sanders' Christmas Eve. And by the way, I think he is sleeping on the cover. Yeah, you remember that? I think it was in January whenever I reviewed Christmas Eve with the Colonel, or Colonel Sanders' Christmas Eve, which I forget the title of it. But yeah, I said I didn't know if he'd had a stroke or he was sleeping, but Mike thinks he was sleeping. I'm pretty sure that's what he was doing. I was just kind of joking there, Mike. But Mike says these vinyls really are a piece of Americana and can help bring a festive spirit, even if the weather is more balmy than frosty. But Mike of Central Florida, thank you so much for emailing. That means a lot, buddy, because I collect vinyls and do reviews on them just because I like them. Anytime I can save a vinyl from the old junk bin somewhere or a yard sale, keep somebody from throwing it away, I like to do that. And you can find some real gems, yard sales and antique malls. Sounds like you found a few yourself. So Mike, happy collecting, buddy, and email me. Let me know when you find some more. And maybe we can, I don't know, maybe you can send me a review of it and I'll read your review on the air. See what you think about it. All right, let's move on and see what we got next here. Since we're talking about that, how about go ahead and do a today's spin? I just mentioned in January, we talked about the 1966 and 67 editions of Christmas albums. It was put out by KFC, Colonel Sanders. And there's four editions. There's a 66 through 69. This week, I listened to, I'm going to do a review on the 1968 version of the Colonel's music, and it's called Christmas Day with Colonel Sanders. And it has the Colonel on the front cover in a, wearing a Santa suit with a Santa hat, green gloves. How about that? He's waving to everybody. It's a special collector's edition, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And this one's in stereo. Man, I tell you what, this album, you know, Christmas Day with the Colonel captures the essence of Christmas time in the 60s. If you're a 60s kid like me, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, the horns and strings, along with all the instrumentals and of the versions of traditional Christmas tunes. That's just the way the albums were back then. And it sounds like on this album that, the Colonel probably made a little money off his first two editions, because the production on this album, and I don't know if it's, I think some of them are the same artist, but it just sounds better. Maybe the song choice is better on the first two albums. But this is totally a 60s album for sure. I don't know how to describe it. It just sounds 60s to me. You listen to it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It had the big instrumentals, the orchestras and the choirs was mixed in with the vocals. They had a way of doing that back then. What I wanted to do is on the back of this album cover, Colonel Sanders wrote a letter on the Kentucky Fried Chicken letterhead. Wrote a letter and they put it right on the back of the cover. I just like to read that. Kind of gives you a little insight to who Colonel Sanders was. And it says, "Dear friends, for the Christmas season, I cannot think of a nicer way to convey my best wishes than to share this album of traditional music with you. I know that the holiday season is a very special time for all of us, a time when our families are brought together in a spirit of deep devotion and goodwill. I hope you find, as I do, this selection of music is an especially fine embodiment of the spirit." Oh, Santa. Yeah, let me read that last one there. It says, "I hope you find, as I do, that this selection of music is an especially fine embodiment of the spirit. I think of the children at Christmas as they look forward to the visit from Santa Claus. I think of the grown-ups as they reflect with pride and pleasure upon their families, with the memories of past holiday seasons and the visions of more to come. I think of the world at large, hoping that some of the compassion we feel during the season will flow out into the rest of the year, not only for the sake of our country, but for friends and our enemies. I think of all these things and cannot help but hope that this album and its songs may contribute to the spirit of Christmas. Enjoy it and God bless you, Colonel Harlan Sanders." So that was nice, wasn't it? It kind of gives you a little insight in as to who the Colonel is. This is just a very 60s album, Christmas album. It's hard to really explain other than the big orchestras and choirs, and the vocals are just smooth and warm. There's a couple paragraphs here I'd like to read off the back. It says, "Of all our national holidays, Christmas is uniquely a family day. Its mood is one of togetherness. The everyday frictions which so often distract and separate us seem suddenly to subside, and joyous tranquility takes their place. Music and Christmas are closely related. The angels sing the glad tidings on that first Christmas night, and man employs music to express his innermost joy and holiday happiness. This album is a musical invitation to join Colonel Sanders in honoring Christmas Day and enjoying a delightful collection of favorite Christmas music." That's describing this album, man. This one is much better than the first two, I think, in my opinion. But My two favorite picks off this album come from side one. It's I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day by Ed Ames and The Christmas Song by Henry Mancini and his orchestra. The old chestnuts roasting on an open fire. So if you get a chance to find this album out there, pick it up. It's worth it. You should be able to find it for $10 or less, maybe 12 at the most. But it is a true piece of Americana. And Mike from Central Florida, thank you once again for your email and good luck hunting for Christmas vinyls. Well, moving on with the show tonight. Hope everybody out there is listening is doing okay. Hold on a minute. Time for me to get some more of this community coffee and chicory, the unofficial official sponsor of the North Pole News Dispatch. Just a minute. Man, I love that. Such a good flavor. Got to get those guys on board with us one of these days. I keep emailing them and talking with them. Maybe. But I'll tell you what, let's talk about something here that I don't think of. Maybe I didn't talk about it in January and February. I had a lot of other stuff to talk about and to say. But this is the March National Food Holidays. Man, I love these things. And now some of these, by the time this episode airs, it's going to have already missed some of them. But I'm still going to go through some of them and mention those, even though they're gone. They're still some of my favorites. March 1st was National Peanut Butter Lovers Day. Now, I had a good talk with peanut butter with my buddy Todd Killian of Christmas Clatter Podcast about peanut butter and the Reese's peanut butter and all the different peanut butter candies and cookies. You know, I'm not a big fan of peanut butter and cookies and candy. I'll definitely eat it because it's a cookie or a piece of candy. And, you know, if it's around, yeah, I'll join in just like the next person. But I mostly like peanut butter in peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, or peanut butter and honey. Just not my favorite in cookies and candy. But that's all right. Still, March 1st is National Peanut Butter Lovers Day. Let's see, March 4th, missed it already. That was National Pancake Day. Love me some good pancakes. Love pancakes. You know, I still haven't made up my mind yet if I like better pancakes or waffles. I keep waffling back and forth. Okay. Well, there's March 9th. Here's another one I like. National Meatball Day. Man, I love me some good meatballs too. Spaghetti and meatballs. Love getting spaghetti with a good sauce and meatballs sitting up on top. That's a good thing. All right, and let's see. Let's move on down to March 18th. National Sloppy Joe Day. Sloppy Joe's. You know, I don't know if every country has Sloppy Joe's the way they do here in the U.S. Maybe they do. But it's Sloppy Joe is a meat sauce. It's made with ground beef. And they put like a tomato paste, tomato sauce mixed in with the ground beef. And you put it on a sandwich, on a bun. Make a sandwich out of it. I was raised on Sloppy Joe's. Well, in March 19th, the next thing I was raised on too. It's probably the reason I have a swimmer's body. If you ever see me, you know that's not true. It's quite the opposite. I give old Santa a good run for his money in the physique department. But March 19th is National Corn Dog Day. Now, how about that? Man, Sloppy Joe's and corn dogs. That's a good combination. I never thought about that before. I know there's a lot of people on Fridays, they'll eat a combination of fish and spaghetti. I don't know if that's a thing everywhere, but in the South it is. Friday nights eat fish and spaghetti. But how about that, man? Sloppy Joe's on March 19th and March 18th. March 19th is National Corn Dog Day. All right, let's see, there's March 21st. National Crunchy Taco Day. Now, like me, I would never turn down a crunchy taco, but have you ever bitten into a taco and they just explode? And all the goodness on the inside just kind of falls down on your plate and goes away. Yeah, I don't like that. So I like a soft tacos, but I'll eat a crunchy taco. Don't get me wrong. I'll take a chance and then my taco doesn't explode. You get lucky every now and then. I tell you what, there's one more here. March 24th, National Cheesesteak Day. Yeah, and I like me some good cheesesteak, man. There's a sandwich shop up here. They make a really good cheesesteak. Actually, I may have to go there when I get done with the show tonight. Get me a good old Philly cheesesteak and a Pepsi. How about that? I love that. Well, you know, here at the North Pole News Dispatch, we celebrate all holidays, not just Christmas. Mainly Christmas. But each time there's a holiday rolls around, just any occasion to throw a party or celebrate in any small way, that's what we do. So that's the reason I read off these national food holidays. I love them. It gives you a chance to get out and have a small celebration. But speaking of the holidays coming up, we've got one this month, St. Patrick's Day. That is Sunday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but all this food, man. Maybybe think of Elf Jacob, because Elf Jacob was up here last week, and he come up and he was all excited about St. Patrick's Day. And talking about the food, you know, we were just talking about the food holidays. He was all fired up, man. He was bouncing off the walls because he was talking about making for St. Patrick's Day corned beef and cabbage, and also some Irish stew. He had never made Irish stew before. I lived down south. He had a really good Irish restaurant that was there close by, and I used to go there all the time and get Irish stew, corned beef and cabbage, all kinds of good food. But while F. Jacob was here, he wanted to know if he could ask me some St. Patrick's Day jokes. And of course I said, sure, man, that's what we do here. So as usual, I had to write these things down, man. Hold on. Elf Jacob, buddy, I know you're listening down there tonight, man. these jokes are pretty good, actually. Some good old, I guess some people would call them dad jokes, but man, you got me on every single one of them. Thanks for coming up, Elf Jacob. Man, you got my mouth watering now. We've just been talking about the other food, the corn dogs and the Philly cheese steaks, and now we're talking about corned beef and cabbage. But here's some of the jokes that Elf Jacob left me with. He said, Ken, what happens when a leprechaun falls into the ocean? I don't know. Can they swim? Do they throw them a life raft or a life buoy of some kind? He said, nope. And I said, what happens, Elf Jacob, when a leprechaun falls in the ocean? He said, he gets wet. Okay, well, that's true, but I never would have thought of that. But yes, that is what happened. He said, what does it mean if you find a horseshoe while you're on vacation over in Ireland? And I said, man, I don't know. What it would mean? Does it mean good luck? I know, you know, luck of the Irish. Does that mean good luck? He said, nope. It means that some horse lost his shoe. Oh, hold on. Oh, that one still gets me. F. Jacob, love it, man. Man, I wish St. Patrick's Day was more often these jokes. And he said, also, Ken, he said, what does Ireland have more of than any other country in the world? And I'm like, man, I don't know what that would be. Irish whiskeys or four-leaf clovers? And I said, I don't know, Elf Jacob, what does Ireland have more than any other country in the world? He said, Irishmen. Oh, well. Mm. Here, I'm going to tell you one more. I was just going to do three, but here's another one he said. He said, Ken, what do you call it when an Irishman does the wrong dance? I don't know. I don't know what they call it. I don't know the name of their dances, so I have no idea. What do you call an Irishman, F. Jacob, when he does the wrong dance? He says, he has made a jig mistake. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Okay. F. Jacob, thank you, buddy, for coming up and hanging out with me, man, and getting my mouth water and talking about this corned beef and cabbage and Irish stew. If you make some next week, F. Jacob, bring me a bowl of that Irish stew up here when you come up. Don't just come up with your usual jolly self and all your jokes. Bring me some Irish stew, buddy. And F. Jacob, keep coming back, because you certainly are a bright spot in the day. All right, we're going to keep moving forward with the show. And I think next, let's talk about this week's Christmas quote. This is one of my favorite parts of the show. And the Christmas quote that I chose this week, well, this is the first. It's not a Christmas quote. It's a song. And a line out of the song, as soon as I say it, you're going to know exactly what it is. It is city sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. And what do you think about that, man? City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. If you're from a small town like me, you kind of fantasize about New York City or Chicago or some of the bigger cities that have all the windows that's dressed in holiday style. Maybe out there walking around looking at them, looking in the windows in the snow, drinking some hot chocolate with your family or friends. But if you live in the city, you also know that, well, that time of year, sorry, that news alert. Still got stuff coming in, even though it's March. A lot of news. But yeah, if you live in the city, you know what to expect every year. You know that time, and you know the holiday cheer is there. And I'm sure folks that live in the cities go look at the windows still. Or at least if I lived in a big city, I would. You know, Silver Bells, that's the name of the song. We all know that. It's one of my favorites. But Silver Bells is a Christmas song that was composed by Mr. Jay Livingston and Mr. Ray Evans. And here's just a useless piece of information about Jay and Ray. They also wrote the theme song to Bonanza. You ever seen that old Western show Bonanza? The theme song, it was written by them, by the same fellas that wrote Silver Bells. But in 1950, Jay and Ray wrote what they thought would be a huge hit song about the tinkling bells that department store Santas and Salvation Army volunteers ring at Christmas time. And they called it Tinkle Bells. Tinkle Bells. Mm. Well, they did call it that until Jay went home and told his wife, Lynn, about the song and what they named it. And her response was, "Are you guys insane? Do you know what tinkle is slang for?" Jay had this puzzled look on his face, and he quickly picked up the phone and called Ray and changed the song from Tinkle Bell to Silver Bells, which was first sung by Bob Hope and Carol Richards in the 1951 film The Lemon Drop Kid. And the song became an instant Christmas classic. So we can thank Lynn Livingston for the fact that we don't have to sing Tinkle Bells every year. But after hearing that this song was first introduced during the movie The Lemon Drop Kid, I went to YouTube and looked it up, and you can watch it. It's a 3 or 4 minute clip there. It's really worth your time to go watch it. And I also discovered that Lemon Drop Kid, the movie, is gaining popularity, or has been in the last few years. So I'm going to make it a point sometime this week, actually, to watch the Lemon Drop Kid. But for me, the classic song Silver Bells, it just generates a sense of warmth and nostalgia. Just plain good old-fashioned holiday cheer. The song's gentle melody and lyrics evokes feelings of togetherness and the magic of the Christmas season. Silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Is a catchy, fun to sing chorus line, just as all great classic songs seem to have. And this one conjures up images of bustling city streets adorned with lights and decorations, just as I was talking about earlier. Okay. But like I was saying, images of bustling city streets with lights and decorations, and gazing into the storefront windows of on a snowy night, and dreaming of the magic when Santa makes his journey from the North Pole. He's pulled by magical flying reindeer. The song's message of goodwill and the simple pleasures of the holiday season resonates deeply, making it a sentimental favorite that elicits smiles and happy memories that have made Silver Bells a beloved holiday tune that has endured for generations. And I'm sure will be enjoyed by all for many generations to come. Silver Bells is most certainly in my top five all-time Christmas tunes and has been sang by practically every artist you can think of. Bing Crosby, Dean Martin, Elvis, Michael Bublé, Andy Williams, Tony Bennett. But my favorite, and because it reminds me of my childhood, is a version of Silver Bells that's sang by Burl Ives. There's just something about Burl Ives' voice that to me is just so comforting. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with Sam the Snowman. But it's time for the Christmas and festive holiday news portion of the show. But first, here's a word from one of our sponsors. At Elf Holly's Jolly Bakery, you can certainly have your cake and eat it too. Holly and her family have been baking delicious breads, cakes, and pastries in the magical North Pole Village for decades. Whether it's a special occasion or just because, the Jolly Bakery's fresh, handmade pastries and cakes can help make any celebration sweeter. So stop by Holly's Jolly Bakery, conveniently located in the North Pole Village, just off the square at 1225 North Star Way. And as they say at the Jolly Bakery, every good day starts with a cake. Well, I want to thank you, F. Holly, once again, for sponsoring the Christmas and festive holiday news portion of the show. It is very much appreciated. Well, I guess earlier we were talking about St. Patrick's Day, because we celebrate here at the North Pole News Dispatch all holidays, not just Christmas. We got St. Patrick's right around the corner, St. Patrick's Day. And here from parade.com is an article. It's titled St. Patrick's Day Traditions to Help You Celebrate Irish Pride. So there's a bunch of them. We're not going to go through all of them, but just some of them here to help us get started and help us get in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day. Because I know I have some of those plastic leprechaun hats. You know, that has the buckles around them, the belt and the buckle. I've got four or five of those laying over there. And I'm going to wear one. I don't know who else is going to be here to wear one on St. Patrick's Day, but somebody will. And then I'm going to head on down to the Jolly Bakery, get me some St. Patrick's Day sweets, some goodies, because I know that F. Holly has some good stuff down there. So here's some St. Patrick's Day traditions to help us celebrate Irish pride. It says that St. Patrick's Day isn't just a celebration of the patron saint of Ireland. It's also a demonstration of Irish pride and a welcome bit of green field joy to kick off the spring season and shake off the winter blues. From shamrocks to snacks to step dancing, historically St. Patrick's Day traditions are widely varied but one thing's for sure, they're a lot of fun. And here are some few St. Patrick's Day traditions. It says, eating corned beef and cabbage and bacon. Okay. As we talked about corned beef and cabbage earlier with Elf Jacob. But it says, believe it or not, corned beef and cabbage are actually more of an Irish-American tradition than an Irish one. Okay. Historically, Irish bacon, a form of cured pork, was actually the meat of choice for St. Patrick's Day. It wasn't until the early 1900s that Irish Americans in New York City began to eat corned beef instead because it was much more affordable. Cabbage also became popular simply because it was cheap and readily available. Well, I can understand that. And here's another one, rocking shamrocks. I think they're talking about wearing shamrocks, wearing clothes. I'm not sure. Let's see what it says. Shamrocks are staples of St. Patrick's Day decor and dress. See, clovers and shamrocks were readily available in cheap ways to dress up outfits to go to church. And Irish people began wearing them to services starting in the 1600s. A 1726 Irish cleric, Caleb Threckled, declared the shamrock the Irish national symbol, writing, "This plant is worn by the people in their hats upon the 17th day of March, yearly, which is called St. Patrick's Day. It began a current tradition that by the three-leafed grass emblematically set forth to them the mystery of the Holy Trinity." Okay, and here is drowning the shamrock. Drowning the shamrock. Wearing shamrocks isn't the only thing we do with them to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Drowning the shamrock is considered good luck, even if it could possibly lead to the headache on March 18th. Okay, so drowning the shamrock, they're talking about drinking. Okay. It says, according to some legends, St. Patrick himself went to a bar and got a glass of whiskey that was partially empty. The saint warned the bartender that the devil comes for the dishonest, at which point he was scared straight. The next time St. Patrick visited the pub, everyone's whiskey glass were full. These days, at closing time on St. Patrick's night, shamrocks are dunked into the final glasses of whiskey as a toast to the man who drove the proverbial snakes out of Ireland. There you go, drowning the shamrock. Here is enjoying some Guinnesses. Everybody, well, most people probably know that Guinnesses is a beer. It says Guinnesses is always popular in Ireland, but enjoys a special boom in business on St. Patrick's Day, stateside. The brand revealed that 5 times more Guinnesses pints are sold on St. Patrick's Day than any other day of the year. And that's is a normal 600,000 pints a day. But on St. Patrick's Day, it goes up to 3 million. And here's looking for leprechauns. Leprechauns can be traced back a number of ways, though most clearly linked to sprites and fairies in terms of their magical origins. The term leprechaun may come from 2 different roots. In the 700s, water spirits called Lucrepan, were said to be tiny, as well as the Leith Brogan, which is Irish for shoemaker. Some legends claim that you can find a leprechaun if you follow the tap of their cobbler's hammers. All leprechauns are said to be male, which means they really must be the stuff of magic. Because, well, we all know that. Here it talks about wearing green. It turns out leprechauns are supposedly why we wear green on St. Patrick's Day. They allegedly can't see the color green, so they won't be able to see you and pinch you if you're rocking emerald or chartreuse shades. That's why you wear green, because the shamrocks can't see you. It says pinching anyone who isn't wearing green. Pinching, which we should remind you is a form of assault, comes from a leprechaun tradition. Please don't use someone not looking festive as an excuse to grab or touch them, okay? We're beyond this. All right. Okay. Oh, me. Yeah, I got pinched many a times when I was young for not wearing green. Here it says wearing blue. Blue was once closely associated with St. Patrick's Day instead of green. St. Patrick's was depicted in imagery as often wearing blue garments, and blue was part of Ireland's first coat of arms. One of its symbols, a gold harp in front of a blue background, can still be found on the Irish presidential flag and constitution today. I like blue. Enjoying Irish music. Whether you're into the Dropkick Murphys or traditional Celtic chants, music is a hallmark of St. Patrick's Day celebrations. I like some bagpipe music too. Some good old Celtic fiddle tunes. My son was a fiddle player, or is a fiddle player. And he learned a few fiddle tunes, a few Celtic fiddle tunes. They're pretty awesome, man. I don't drink, but if I did, I believe drinking to some Irish fiddle tunes would be great. Dancing to them. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Church services honoring St. Patrick. At its core, St. Patrick's Day is a religious holiday honoring Ireland's patron saint. So many Catholics mark the occasion by going to Mass. Okay, I knew that. Mm-hmm. In the few Masses myself. Dyeing the Chicago River green. I've heard this too, and I think most people here in the U.S. have heard this. Since 1962, Chicago has dyed its namesake river green every St. Patrick's Day. Use of green dye started with utilitarian purpose. City workers originally used green dye to trace unauthorized sewages and realized it looks very festive. Hey, this looks like St. Patrick's Day. The whole kiss me, I'm Irish thing. Let's see what this says. The phrase kiss me, I'm Irish comes from the Blarney Stone. Irish legends says that kissing the famous stone in Blarney Castle gives the kisser the gift of charming, eloquent, and persuasive speech. Since most people won't get to smooch the stone, it's said that puckering up to an Irish person is the next best thing. So that's where kiss me, I'm Irish comes from. Okay. Here's another one. Irish Pride and St. Patrick's Day parades. Now, man, I love me a good parade. I love any kind of parade. It don't matter what it is. Mule Day Parade. You ever heard of Mule Day? If you're from Tennessee, you've certainly heard of Mule Day. Mule Day Parades, Columbia, Tennessee. It's a big deal, man. Big deal. And it's bigger than most Christmas parades. Anyways, here it says Irish Pride and St. Patrick's Day Parades. Whether or not you're Irish, St. Patrick's Day and Irish Pride parades are a rollicking great time every year. New York City's St. Patrick's Day Parade is one of the most famous. In a typical year, it has an average of 150,000 participants and 3 million spectators on the sidelines. Cities including Boston, Chicago, and Philadelphia also host parades. St. Patrick's Day is also quite popular in Japan, which hosts parades of its own on the Harajuku neighborhood of Tokyo. Harajuku. And I'm sorry if I'm just slaughtering these pronunciations, but Harajuku neighborhood in Tokyo, complete with Irish dancing. Here's another one. Using Irish slang and phrases. There's never a better day to yell, "Erin, go brag," which is Ireland forever, or "slanty," which means health, used as a toast. Snacking on soda bread. Irish soda bread may not be the Irish after all. In case the delicious and filling treat became popular with Irish Americans because it isn't affordable as it is satisfying. All right, let's see. Let's just go with, let's just read one more here and we'll move on. The St. Patrick's Day. It's usually about drinking and partying and having a good time. Coloring the, dyeing the river green, parades, all that good stuff. Here it says, staying sober. Yep, you read that right. Being the St. Patrick's Day is technically a religious holiday that falls within Lent. It's common for a lot of Catholic celebrants to make this holiday a dry one. Well, you know, I went to a Catholic grade school and high school, and I never saw any sober Catholics on St. Patrick's Day. It was quite the opposite, but, you know, maybe I have a small world. There you go. I'm sure there is some sober Catholics on St. Patrick's Day. But I don't know what your plans are, but take advantage of the holiday, man. You know, even if it's go to a store somewhere and get some of those cheap St. Patrick's Day decorations. Decorate something. I don't care. Maybe it's just one table. Put out some decorations on the table and get you some cupcakes with green icing if you don't drink. Get you some sweets. Maybe make some cabbage. If you can't, if it's too much trouble to make anything else, make some cabbage, man, for St. Patrick's Day. But if you do go out and party and have a good time, please be safe and don't drink and drive, for sure. But here's the North Pole. We don't have to worry about that. Closest thing we get to drinking and driving here is maybe a few elves drinking and sledding on those toboggans. You know, the biggest hill around here, if I walk straight out behind the North Pole News Dispatch Station, walk through the woods for about 100 yards, there's a hill on the back side because the station sets up on the hill so we can get good reception. But when you get to the other side of the hill, man, it's just straight. Nothing, just open field all the way down to the bottom. That's where everybody sleds. It's fantastic, man. They have a good time over there. So I would imagine St. Patrick's Day coming up, that hill's going to be rocking, man. I believe I'll head over there too. See what's going on. I'm going to ask around about that. All right, let's move on to some Christmas news. And I tell you, I'm trying to keep these shows to right around an hour. And so I'm having to shorten them just a little bit. But today, I tell you what, there's a story that came through that I think is just worthy of telling. This will probably be the only Christmas news we have tonight. And it's a good one. I think everybody needs to hear this. These people are very deserving. And it's subtitled, Celebrating the Last Season of Birch Meadow Farms Christmas Trees. Birch Meadow Farm is a 100-acre farm owned by Berkeley and Louetta Barton of Schuyler County. For many years, the couple has grown and sold Christmas trees during the holiday season, sharing Christmas memories many families. Berkeley and Louetta decided that the 2023 Christmas season was their last year selling Christmas trees on their farm. Louetta, 82, grew up in Schuyler County and graduated from Lancaster High School in 1959. Over the years, she was a stay-at-home mom, worked in a beauty shop, and did some factory work. Berkeley was 80 years old, grew up in Pike County, Illinois. He graduated from Pleasant Hill High School in 1962 and served in the Air Force from 1966 to 1970. He worked for the Natural Resources Conservation Service for many years, and he was working in the Schuyler County area when he met Louetta. Berkeley ended up working down in Armstrong, Missouri, with the Missouri Department of Conservation forester named Clell Solomon. This is where Berkeley learned about how to grow Christmas trees. Clell had a Christmas tree farm and he really appreciated it, Berkeley recalled. He knew more about trees, but we both had problems with them. Berkeley worked for him for several years, and that's how it got in his blood, Luetta said. In 1998, Berkeley and Luetta decided to start growing their own Christmas trees on their farm. In 2005, the couple started selling the Christmas trees after they both retired. The trees were spread across 30 acres and provided families with a place to go pick out their own Christmas trees for the holiday season. Over the years, the couple grew different types of Christmas trees on their farm, including Scotch pines, spruce, Fraser fir, and white pines. The standard Christmas tree is not native to North America. They are known as Scotch pine, and they originated in Scotland. When we brought them over here, everybody that grows Scotch pines has trouble with diseases and insects, Berkeley explained. White pine is native, so they have few problems. Yeah. I love hearing that. But he says that white pine is native, so they have few problems, but not near like the Scotch, Luetta said. The trees were available for purchase from Thanksgiving to Christmas each year. The Bartons hired a few helpers each year to help with the trees. On average, most customers would pick out a tree that was 6 to 7 foot tall. The largest tree we sold this year was 21 foot tall. It went to a courtyard over in Milan, Berkeley said. Says, we're not selling much more than 250 trees a year. We started much larger than that, and we offered trees for wholesale for clubs and various people. When we were wholesaling, everything had to be out of here before Thanksgiving. We even sold some down to Columbia, to the forestry department at the school, because they had trouble with their trees, and they were needing some for their tree sales. One year, Luetta decided to start making wreaths and swags out of the greenery. She sold about 100 wreaths and swags in each season, and each one looked different each year. When she first started, Luetta didn't know anything about how to make wreaths or a swag. We bought a wreath machine and went down to Clell's, and he sent us home with some greenery. My husband showed me how to put a wad in there and push the lever and clamp it together. It has been a learning experience, Luetta laughed. It was a labor of love for Luetta. Luetta's were just special because they could tell they were handmade. She would stand there, and if a bug had bit a needle, she was in there clipping out that one needle at a time. Most of the customers that visited the Christmas tree farm were from out of town. The farthest a Christmas tree traveled from Birch Meadow Farms was to Florida. The tree was purchased by a deer hunter who was hunting in the area. Many memories have been shared over the years between the customers and the Bartons. One of the Berkeley's favorite memories was about a regular customer who bought a tree from them several years ago. I was apologizing because the trees were showing the effects of bugs and diseases, Berkeley said. She turned and faced me, and she got right in my face. Burke, we don't care what the tree looks like. We're out here for the experience and the fun of it, and the meaning of Christmas. Luetta remembers seeing a lot of small vehicles, Christmas trees on top of their cars each year. One year we had a family from Memphis, and it was a nice warm day. She wanted to get a Christmas tree, and he wanted to go for the motorcycle ride. So she tied their little trailer on and came up here. They had an 8-foot tree stuck in that thing, Luetta laughed. That'd be a sight, wouldn't it? At the end of 2023, Berkeley and Luetta decided that it would be their last season selling Christmas trees. The Bartons encouraged others who want to learn about growing Christmas trees to join a Christmas Tree Association group. These groups help newcomers to learn about growing the trees. The couple would like to thank every customer that purchased Christmas trees over the years from their farm and who helped support their business. It's been fun through the years, the ups and the downs, and the good diehard customers that come back every year. We've just enjoyed it so much, and we have the privilege of being a part of a lot of people's Christmas. That meant a lot to us, Berkeley said. I want people to know that we did really appreciate them. That was nice. And this was from NeimanNews.net. That was nice, man. Selling Christmas trees and being a part of people's Christmas. We used to go to called Wright's Tree Farm out in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, when I was younger. We'd go out there and, I don't know how many acres it was, Christmas trees. But we always had to go to the back of the property because we always thought that the perfect Christmas tree was back there, well hidden, tucked in a back corner somewhere where nobody else could find it. I loved that. They had a barn where you cut the tree, cut it yourself, and drag it up to the barn, and they had hot chocolate, hot apple cider. And you could buy wreaths, just like the article was talking about. That's what you wanted. They had plenty of wreaths. They had a fire going all the time. And you could stand there by the fire and get warm and have your hot chocolate. And the smell of the pine trees. The smell of that Christmas tree farm. I loved it. One of my favorite smells. But the right to put their kids through college with that Christmas tree farm. And once your kids got out of college and the Wrights, Mr. and Miss Wright, they were getting older. They did the same thing. They had one final year. And we went out and bought a tree the very last year. That was a special time. But it was sad whenever, you know, they put those trees in this thing that shakes them and I guess gets any bugs or loose needles off of it and then puts it through a net and puts it on top of your car. It was fun, but it was kind of sad at the same time. But I want to thank Mr. and Miss Wright, in case they're listening, or one of their family members listening that worked out there all those years. Thank you so much for being there and being a part of our Christmas. Well, I hear the closing music, so I guess that means, once again, our time together here at the dispatch station is come and gone. I want to thank F. Andy for sponsoring the Village News. That's F. Andy's Fix-It Shop located at 21 Slay Street down in the Village. Your friendly neighborhood Fix-It Shop. And for sponsoring the Christmas and festive holiday news portion of the show, I want to give a big thanks to F. Holly's Jolly Bakery. Jolly Bakery is located just off the square at 1225 North Star Way. And as they say at the Jolly Bakery, every good day starts with a cake. A big thanks to F. Jacob for your weekly visits here at the dispatch station and sharing your Christmas and festive holiday jokes with me and all the listeners. You certainly are a bright spot in the day. And I want to give a big thanks to Mike of Central Florida for emailing concerning the collecting Christmas vinyl and the inspiration he got from the North Pole News Dispatch. That was awesome, Mike. Thank you. I most certainly want to give a big thank you to all of our listeners. Without you, this show just wouldn't be possible. If you have a holiday event or festival in your town or community and would like us to announce it on the show, just send it to the North Pole News Dispatch at gmail.com. Send me an email. Message me on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll get it on there. I'd love to hear from you. So as always, remember to be kind, be of service to others, and keep the spirit of Christmas alive all year long. Until next time, take us home, boys.